KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministry. Living Word Ministry. Stay tuned.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. We praise you. We magnify your name, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Father, we hope in you. We trust in you. We have faith, God. Lord God, we pray that you touch and look upon each and every one of these, your little ones, your children. Father, that you would bless them, that you would guide and keep us, Lord God. And Father, that you would comfort those bereaved. Father, that you would bless them with a blessing of your word, Lord, and comfort of your spirit. Lord, we ask you, God, that you would look upon this assembly of your people. And Lord, whatever our ailments are, we know that you can heal us. For you said in your word, with the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Father, I pray now that you would open our ears for the word that would be spoken on today. Father God, that it be received with joy. Father, that they would understand what thus said the Lord. And Father, that we will be encouraged to know who you are in the text, and that we'll be encouraged to know who you are in our life. Father, we thank you right now. Give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which you shall write upon the word of faith. Your word, God, that brings healing and deliverance and power and peace and prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we thank you for healing and delivering and setting us free. We thank you for giving us peace and joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And after you've done all you want to do in this service, Lord God, we will give you praise and glory. We'll join in with the many winged seraphim and the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you that your glory fills us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, all deceivable, I mean, he's deceiving people. And I point back to 1 John chapter 2, where, around verse 18, where it says that the Antichrist is all, as many of them already come. Right? And so guess what's happening right now? Deception. Deception everywhere, even on the World Wide Web. Why has a spider put his web in the corner or at your garage from one spot to the next and back around? Because he wants the fly to think that ain't nothing there, and the fly flies into it to deceive him, only to get him caught up in it. The World Wide Web. You get caught up in the web, huh? And that internet spider. Oh, okay. Let me. I'll leave that alone. I'll leave it alone. Some of us caught up in the web now because we can't turn out. We can't put our social media down. We're at church today. Amen. I guarantee, if it's 50 people in here, 28 of them have picked up their phone and went on social media. Tell me I'm lying. I guarantee you somebody in here, and that's the web. You're caught in it. You can't get free. Ain't no discipline when you're in that. Now you're hung in the web, and you're just waiting for the spider to come and eat the life out you. Amen. Amen. Taking my time. I know y'all wanted me to, you know. Oh, you don't? Okay. No. He says that deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. They don't love the truth. They'd rather somebody lie to them. I was talking about this the other day. Some people just rather folks lie to them. They don't care. don't care. We was talking, and somebody was asking me, well, you know, what about, you know, they was talking about they had went to this, you know, this revival, and they had about 5 or 6 people who had been told that they were going to be millionaires. And they said, you believe that? I said, I don't know, God might do it. I said, God might do it. I mean, 5 or 6 people, you know, in that small town over there, in this small town, Louisiana, not in Natchitoches, okay? Small town, Louisiana, I'm going to just say that. I said, if God wants to, he can do it. And they said, you know, but why he ain't just tell them that God was going to bless them to have the necessities of life and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, well, I don't know why he said that. I said, I ain't him. I said, one thing is I realize that sometimes people want you to lie to them because they want you to feel good. Amen. So, you know, you lie to them, you know. Men, y'all know how y'all do. How they look, baby? That look good. And they leave feeling good about themselves. In reality, she don't care how you think it looks. She only care about what the other lady think it look like. Amen. So she can say, girl, where you get that from? You know. All I'm saying is that sometimes people like to be lied to. And for some reason, since they like to be lied to, the devil figured that we can lie to them at church. And they'll never focus on what it's really about. They'll never focus on fixing their life to match up with the word of God. They'll think that everything revolves around them, and they'll never grow up. They'll never change. They'll never repent, never turn. They'll never care about what you say that pertains to somebody else that's not me. Preach to them, pastor. Huh? But people want to be lied to. He said, look at this. They don't have love for truth. I'd rather feel good than you tell me the truth. I often wonder, y'all watch that? I don't watch it, but I visit my sister Bucci, and she watch it. My 600-pound life. You ever think that anybody told them that, hey, you know, you getting too big? Yeah, I didn't want to say it. That's all right. At some point, somebody should have said, you know, you ain't leaving the house, you're depressed, you know, you're just laying in the bed eating, and I'm not going to keep bringing this food to the bedroom, you got to come out and get it, you know. At some point, somebody should have said that, you know, be truthful, I'm not going to let you lay in the bed like this. But we don't do that, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, and you know, too many times we walk in feeling, and we don't walk in faith. And if somebody would just tell me, you know what, you know, Al, you can't lay in this bed all day. And I ain't going to keep bringing you this food. If you want to go to McDonald's, let's walk down the street. You know, give me some truth. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying, if we sometimes we coddle people and we hurt them more than we help them. Because we don't tell them the truth. Paul said these words. He said, have I become your enemy now because I'm telling you the truth? People, you will become somebody's enemy in a second if you tell them an ounce of truth. If we just tell a little bit of truth, then they mad. Well, yeah, they mad with you. And I had a bunch of people get mad with me just because I told them the truth. I said, well, I'm like Edith Bunker. You don't want the truth? Don't know the truth? Don't ask me. Because I don't know nothing else. But people would love to be lied to. Look at this. He says, now, because they did not want to, they received not. And the word receive means that they rebelled against and they rejected it. Not that they didn't have an opportunity. It means that they didn't want it. You got to be careful of what you want. Amen? You got to think about what you say you really want. Do you really want what you're asking God for? Amen, because truth be told, it may spoil your life. It may mess you up. It may destroy you. It may hinder you. It may hurt you. Come on and say amen. And so we need to let God give us what he see fit to give us. I used to pray for stuff all the time. God, give me this. God, give me that. And when I stopped praying for the stuff, when I wasn't getting it anyway, Let me tell you what I did. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I prayed for it, and I was sowing seed for it. I'm like, God, don't give it to me. I got to sow seed. And I didn't even realize that God had already had some stuff I have not seen, ear have not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for. And I wanted somebody to prophesy and tell me what God was going to give me.
I don't have to have that now because I grew up. Because I realize that God will bless me regardless.
Because God is too good not to bless me. Have mercy here. God is too good not to turn my life around. I can't be around him and he not bless me. I can't be in his face and he not see something I need and he not give it to me. I can't be every time I show up, God see me naked and not clothe me. If he tell me to go clothe the naked, you think he gonna let me come hungry and not feed me? You think he's gonna let, I wish I had somebody. You gotta understand that God knows better what you need than what you know what you need. And so you gotta trust him enough to let him give it to you. But what our problem is, we don't want to focus on the word and line up with the word. We want God. We want to try to manipulate God. God, I've been good for 2 weeks. I know I deserve it. You don't deserve nothing. What you really deserve, God didn't give you. So you ought to be thankful for that. Come on and say amen. What you really deserve, God decided I'm not going to hurt them like that because I love them too much. I'm just going to deliver them from what they've been in. And better yet, I pray that God delivers some of us from ourselves because it's you that's the problem. It's you that ain't right. It's you that won't receive what God has for you. Y'all still with me here? He says that, and for this cause, verse 11, God has sent strong delusions. Strong delusions. Now, when he says strong delusions, that word, that it actually means that he fixes it where they can't receive the truth. Simplest way I can explain it. But it means that also that they keep committing error after error after error. Paul said it in Timothy. He said, ever learning, never coming in the knowledge of the truth. They continue to error. They continue to do evil and heap evil upon evil. And they keep doing thing after thing after thing and thinking, okay, you know, ain't nothing wrong with this. Amen. And willingly, amen. And so when we look at that word, strong delusion, and notice what it says in verse 11, it says, for this cause God blocked their mind. And I hope ain't nobody in my family ever get to where God blocked them. God will put you on block, you know. Y'all, you see, it's there. He will block you. Block your mind where you cannot receive the truth. And no matter what anybody say, I can tell you truth and you still can't receive it because God has blocked you. That's a dangerous and a bad place to be. So if you're pancaking with the devil and you're playing with God, just know, you know how it is. Somebody playing with you and they messing with your phone, you're going to what? Block. Keep playing with God. Whew. I'm going to let that sink in a minute. He'll block you. And they will look at this. He says, strong delusions that he shall send to them and then that they should believe a lie. I wondered what happened. This is all about apostasy. They fall away because now there's strong delusions and they're believing a lie. Believing a lie, meaning that they really don't know what truth is. Sister Nate, I was wondering why in the world people follow so many, you know, these mega ministries, they're built off things that are not even true. And I'm wondering how in the world did they get to that point and people can't see it? Well, because God allowed it that they believe a lie. And I'm glad that God didn't let me follow after a lie. He didn't let me follow a lie, but he revealed truth to me. And you got to appreciate truth. Because if you don't appreciate truth, then you're subject to get blocked. Okay. If you don't appreciate truth, you're subject to get blocked. And he said, look, verse 12, and I'm going to try to get finished. I'm sorry here. That they all might be damned. That ain't a cuss word. It's in the Bible. I'm saying in the right context. God condemnation. They may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They don't care about truth. It's all about pleasure. Hedonism. What I feel, what I want. Huh? So he said that they'll be damned because they don't believe. So what you believe does matter. Somebody said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe this little bit. No. Well, you got to believe the truth. You got to believe the truth. The truth anywhere, the truth everywhere. You got. I don't care if somebody says, oh, it's different over here. No. You got to believe the truth. Amen. He said because of that, he says that you get damnation if you don't know what to believe. They all might be damned, not some. They all might be damned. When we look at that, we don't really look at that in a serious nature because we think that, okay, this, I can pat a cake around and play around until I get tired and then I'm going to fix it. Let me tell you something. You can't fix it. You ever seen a fly get out of a spider web? Huh? You ain't never seen that, right? You ever seen a mouse get his head in a trap and get itself out? Well, I had one that did. It was a big one. But the trap was too little. He just pulled his head out. Y'all still awake. Y'all still awake. That's good. Y'all ain't sleeping on me. That's good. But what I'm saying is that you get yourself in a situation and you think that you're going to pull yourself out. And you never do. Because you don't want truth, and because you don't want to do the right thing. We cannot take pleasure in unrighteousness. We cannot reject the truth and think that everything's going to be fine in our life. Now, I want you to understand this. People have rejected truth for years and been partakers of unrighteousness for years, and then they get in God for 3 months or 6 months or a year, and they think that everything's supposed to work out just fine. That I'm going to be, this and that. No. You got to understand, there's also a process here. There's a process of maturity. There's a process of sanctification. Things are not going to happen how you want them to just because you decided to stop. Amen. You're still on probation. Let me stop here. 40 years Moses was in Pharaoh's house. 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years leading the people in the wilderness, that's what he was doing. 40 years and all these increments of 40 was letting us know that Moses, that was a period of probation and transition that happened in his life. And we think that things ought to happen in a year. And Moses didn't get to do nothing until, 80 years old. Okay, now. Let me get finished. I'm going to try to... Quinn, you might have to help me to get this home. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks. We're bound to give thanks for you always. We are bound to give thanks, as he's speaking from an apostolic point of view. He said, we give thanks to God, always to God for you. We thank God, brethren, beloved brethren of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you. The word chosen means to be elected. It means to be handpicked. And notice one thing. God picked us out from the foundation. Before the world was even framed up, God intended for you. Tell somebody, for you. He intended for you to be here. He intended for you to be something. He intended for you to be productive. He intended for you to be prosperous. I wish I had somebody here. We got to understand God, when from before the foundation of the world, he had a plot and a plan already. Amen. That's why they call it Plan X, extraterrestrial plan. God put, oh Lord, have mercy. God had a plan and it was extra for us. And God is so extra. Anybody know God is so extra? God is so extra because he'll let you die like he did Lazarus. And he'll go to the grave and he'll tell you, move the rock, and then he'll call you out. I wish I had somebody. God is an extra God. And I'm so glad. That's what Paul was saying, that my God, he said his grace is sufficient. He was just letting us know that God is extra. Whatever you need extra, God will give it to you. Amen. In here, he said that we got to be thankful unto God. He said, therefore, brethren, be what? Steadfast and hold the traditions of which you have been taught. And that's the problem. A lot of us don't want to be taught that. A lot of people in the world today, either they want to be hollered at or don't you tell me nothing at all. Come on and say amen. But I want you to know you have to be taught the word of God. Amen. He said, whether by the word or by our epistle, if I write you a letter and tell you, or if I just preach it to you, you need to be taught what thus saith the Lord. And he said, when you're taught what thus saith the Lord, then be thankful for it, beloved brethren. He said, he's chosen you and he took you through a process of sanctification of spirit and belief of truth. So God take you to a place in which he tests you on every truth that you think you know. If you think that you know the truth about love, he's going to test you with people in your love. Preach up in here. If you think, oh yeah, I love everybody, somebody going to come up and they're going to mess with you and you're going to say, ooh, I can't stand it. And then God going to say, is that love? Oh, I thought you had a PhD in love. No, you need some more doctrine on so you can get this doctor love in you. I wish I had somebody here. Oh yeah, you said, oh yeah, I'm above all that. I'm past the gossip. And as soon as somebody come to you with some juice and stuff, you tempted to say, I wish I had some. You tempted, I ain't telling everybody, just my best friend. I'm just gonna tell. I got a few people that you're tested in those levels. If you know truth, guess what? Truth is gonna be tested. That's the process, he said, of sanctification, because he has to work that mess out of you. If you say, I'm always telling the truth and I ain't never lying, then guess what? He gonna put you in a position where the bill collector call your house and you're gonna lie and tell him that I put it in the mail already. You know you ain't put it in the mail. You know you ain't even went to the bank. You know what? You ain't even got it in the bank, but you lie. I wish I had somebody. Hey, you telling them, they call you and they say, he ain't here. And it's you. And you know you tell him, he ain't here. May I take a message? You're trying to figure it out. But see, God will test you in all these things when you say you think you know. When you say that I've already arrived, he's going to test you to see if you're really about what you say you're about. And so all of the stuff that we're talking about today, he's going to test you on what you believe. He's going to try you to see how you're going to handle it. If you say, oh, that stuff don't bother me, they can say what they want to say. As soon as you hear, your friend comes and says, girl, you know what they said about you? You know they put you on topics. They had your name out there. You know what? You're going to get mad. You're going to be mad with everybody. You're going to want to know. And you got to leave that stuff alone, because you can't find out who said it. You can't track all that mess down. All it's doing is making you hate everybody in the row, when all you got to do is say, you know what? I ain't going to hate everybody because they ain't that important to me. This is important that I have God. This is important that my relationship be right with him. And so I forgive him. I love him. Oh, come on and say amen in here. That's what I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you what the truth is. And so we got to say, when we get through that process of sanctification, and when do I finish that process? I don't finish that process until it's time to go home, because he's constantly working on me. He's constantly sanctifying me. He's constantly working on me, getting stuff off me that I put on me for 30 years, getting stuff out of my mind that I've been thinking for a long time, getting things right in my life. I wish I had somebody here. Oh yeah, he said that therefore stand fast in the traditions where you've been taught. Have anybody taught you anything? Have anybody, you know, that's what happens when people do stuff when you're outside of the church and you start acting a fool. The first thing they say, what is holding teaching them people over there? All they want to fight. They're always keeping some mess up. They always, that's what they're saying. So if you go put yourself with me and attach yourself to my name and attach yourself to this church, I admonish you by the Spirit of God that you get your act together. Quit acting a fool out there. Quit having people talk about me, because I ain't had nothing to do with the mess that you got yourself into. I wish I had somebody in here. You need to get your mind right, get your act together. And so if you're going to be acting up out there, expect for me to tell you in here that you need to get it together, because you ain't going to have me associated with no junk. Jesus said, Paul said, have Christ and belial anything in common? No, we ain't got nothing in common. Have the devil and Jesus anything in common? Light and darkness anything in common? No. And so we got to separate ourselves from some stuff. Come on and say amen in here. Oh, yeah. And then he says, now the Lord himself, I'm going to get through.
And God, even the Father, who has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, let him comfort your heart and establish you in every word and work. We got to understand that we are established by every word and every work. It's not what you say exactly, but it's what you say and do. Come on and say amen. Because I need to do what I say I'm going to do, and I need to say what I'm going to do. Come on and say amen here. And so what I got to understand is that even though I speak the word of God, I still have to live the word of God. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah here. Every good word and good work. He said, this is how you establish. What kind of reputation do you have? Are you noted in the community as a liar? Come on and say amen here. What kind of reputation? What's your work say for you? The Bible tells us that we got to work while it's day. But what is your work saying for you? You know, I hire people to do work. You hire people to do work. If you need somebody to cut your grass and you walk down the street and you look at your neighbor's grass and they didn't cut it, they kind of pushed it down with their raggedy mow, you think you're going to hire him for the job? His work speaks for him. All I'm trying to tell you is if your mess is raggedy and your work is raggedy, ain't nobody want to hear what you got to say. Ain't nobody want to believe that you truly who you say you are. But you got to be steadfast, the Bible said. And we need to not be easily shaken by the things that's happening in the world, but be steadfast and be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm not going to move, even though it come hell or high water. I know I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to believe in the Lord, because he'll make a way for me where there seem to be no way. I'm going to stand on his word. I'm going to do the work that God called me to do. Do I have anybody? Oh, y'all mad with me already? I don't care. I just want to preach and let you know. You got to be steadfast. Quit letting what people say move you. Quit letting what people do move you. And stand on his word. Stop believing lies. Stop running after folks that don't care nothing about you. Just run after God. I'm chasing after you. That's what Paul said. I'm forgetting things that are behind and reaching towards that which is before me. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high call. Anybody else pressing? I wish I had somebody. The Bible says, run this race with patience. Anybody in their own lane? I'm in my own lane. I ain't got time to cross in your lane to see what's going on at your house. But I'm going to stay right here because God has put me on a planned path. Somebody say yes and give God some praise. Anybody in the house understand that this is not a sprint, but it's a marathon. I ain't got to beat you. I just got to finish. Anybody in the house say, I'm in this fight. I'm going to finish it. I ain't going to give up. I ain't throwing in the towel. I ain't going to stop because God is on my side. You know what the word says? That they may work or they may run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. Anybody in here say, I was running, but now I'm walking. I was flying, but now I'm running. It's all right as long as you keep moving. Somebody say yes and give God praise. Ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? I say, yeah, yeah, yes. God is all right. How come is he all right? He's all right because Jesus came, because God loved us. And if you don't know it, I'm here to let you know he has an everlasting love, the kind of love that won't ever quit. Love you through your mess. When you lie, he loves you. When you backbite, he loves you. When you gossip, he loves you. When you're in sin, he still loves you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Say yes, he died.